Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody, to the No BS Bishop. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm alive to love. I believe lesser values than love easily slide into and devolve into the pits of bait and switch, BS. There is no better, greater, higher, more empowering value to live by than love alone. Hans von Balthasar, a Catholic theologian, once said, "Love alone is credible." Randy Dean, the Protestant amateur theologian, says the future of the world is love. I'm not here to live my life for lesser strengths or priorities. I will give myself totally to this game changer, this pilgrimage, this marathon. Love is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a lifetime pursuit. It can't be done in just short bursts. It has to be a full-on, complete reach, a pilgrimage, a mountain climb. And then we find that love, if you take the mountain climbing image a little further, then we find that at different levels, the atmosphere changes, our body changes. When you climb a mountain, I've never done it, but I am told when you climb a mountain at certain altitudes, you've got to stop and give your body a chance to acclimate. All of those things are applicable to a lifetime spent in the pursuit of love. So here, every week, I do two or three things repeatedly for the purpose of keeping us rooted and grounded in love. That's from Ephesians, by the way, the book of Ephesians in the Bible. Rooted and grounded in love, that we can comprehend with all the saints from all the times of all the history what is the beauty of God's purposes. So, to get there, I wrote Love's Creed, and here it is. I'll give it to you in one full total reading, and then we'll go back and we'll do it as bride and groom would do at a wedding altar. I'll give it to you in short bursts so you can say Love's Creed with me. Are you ready? Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. This needs to be in my life, and it is in my life, and will continue to be in my life, a regular, secure spot to stand. I speak these things routinely. I need my own ears to hear me say my own creed, my own value, my own reach, my own target. So here it is. Let me give it to you as I would a set of vows at a marriage altar. I'll give it to you in short bursts, and then you repeat after me. Hear yourself say these words. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it. That's Love's Creed. If you'd like a copy of that, send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail. Be happy to respond. Or if you have some questions or if you have some topics you'd like to suggest as referring to the subject and the beauties and the mountain climb and the marathon and pilgrimage of love. I'm here to unpack those mysteries every week. Now, today, I want to take a little bit of a twist in the road just to stay on focus in terms of making sure I'm doing this in a thoroughly completed project. I want to jump over what we do for the early part of this broadcast to what we do at the end, and that is I have challenged you for 4 years. When we close this time, I challenge you to find somebody, make full eye contact, slow yourself down, and in a contemplative, meditating way, say the three most charmed, magical, majestic words in the human language. And those three words are, I love you. When you make eye contact with those three words, when you slow yourself down, your mind, your race through life, when you slow yourself down to a real intentional point of reference and you say those words, I'll tell you what, if you're in a crowded room and people catch on that you're doing that, it'll quiet that room right down. There's just something impacting about those words. And the reason is we wobbling, toddling human beings down here, we're starving for this majestic beauty called love. We're dying for it in some cases. And so when somebody shows up and they seem to have a good bit of that product in their heart, a good bit of that reality cooking in their own soul kitchen, and they really put the effort and the time, the time of saying, I love you. What was that? Maybe 5-10 seconds? But when we show the effort and the commitment to that level of just 5 to 10 seconds to say something so powerful, oh, I tell you, it'll turn the lights on in an emotionally dark room. Now, and I've said this, I say this every week for the last 4 years, that I know it's awkward and I know people get a little funky about it, especially when you make full eye contact and you're looking them dead in the eye and you're saying, I love you. All of a sudden their eyes get to be a little busy and their face gets a little bit twitchy and suddenly there's a feeling of, oh my gosh, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I going to do? I don't know. I don't know. Run. I can't get away. And I understand that. And I know that we have to be careful on some level where and how and with whom we say that. But I'm also very aware that this can also become a simple but significant revolutionary turn in how we manage this gold, this platinum value that we call love. To manage it well, even in the face of awkward feelings and people trying to get away from that kind of intimacy, when we manage it well, no matter what other awkward notions are happening, we're going to change the atmosphere. Now, I'm starting with this today because I want to talk to you just quickly on two things. First of all, intimacy, and second of all, the origins of love. The intimacy of our time and in our age. You know, Martin Luther King Jr., we just celebrated Martin Luther King Jr. Day yesterday here when I'm recording this, and he spoke eloquently of how we've conquered the air, we can fly to the moon, we can fly it in the air with gigantic metal tubes, we've conquered the oceans, we've conquered outer space, but we have not conquered inner space. We have not conquered our shrunken intimacies. He's absolutely right. And to that end, we must discover the capacity for the intimacy of love. And that's true in friendships. It's true in parents and children. It's true from children to parents. It's true from neighbor to neighbor. It's true in romantic love. It's true at every level when we hold the subject of love on the kind of value and the kind of priority that it deserves. So discovering that intimacy, and my challenge to you in this broadcast is to continually give you this this bullseye. Go for it. Find the capacity in yourself to say those powerful words. Shake it up. It'll shake you up first, but then it'll shake up others. And I know people are going to run away from you if they know this is coming on any kind of predictable basis. I know. How do I know? Because I see it. I won't go into the detail here, but I do a routine meditation and prayer time with a group of people, and they have come to know that when I am doing this prayer and meditation time, they know that I'm going to go to this I love you challenge. And when they see it coming, I can see one or two people kind of easily slip out of the room. That's okay. I'm not going to embarrass them, but I know it's like putting eggs on a hot frying pan when I do this. So rise to that challenge, because this whole subject of intimacy, in our 21st century, this subject of intimacy must be addressed at so many levels, because there's so much mental health attached to it. There's so much even physical health attached to what is happening in our loss of intimacy. We're staring at computer screens. And to be honest, I'm looking at three computer screens right now. So I'm not ragging on you about that. I'm just saying this is what's happening to us as a human race in this 21st century. We're staring at small telephone screens. We're locked in cars for long hours on the drive to work and the drive to home. And we get home and we're tired from work, and we don't want to hear it from the people we live with. We don't want to spend more energy there because our emotional tank is empty. I get it. I really do. But somehow, some way, may each of us rise to a new challenge, a new day, a new level, a new rising and shining with this glorious power of love to become at least practitioners of intimacy. It's been said, not original to me, and you probably heard this ad nauseum, so bear with me if you've heard it before too many times, but it has been said that intimacy is this: into me see. Intimacy. Into me see. That very, very simple and yet deeply complex challenge is at the doorstep of everybody listening to me. I don't know who you are, what your situations are, but I know this. It's true for me. It's true for my family. It's true for my neighbors. It's true for everybody that I work with, I talk to. It is a truth that we are all working on, that into me see. I want you to see me. And having the capacity to do that by sharing intimacy to into others see is so valuable. So that's why I'm starting with that challenge that I usually conclude with. And by the way, I will conclude with it. Now, from intimacy, the next subject that I want to tackle here is that there is a need for us to discover and to embrace divine love. Divine love. You know, one of the challenges Jesus ran into when he was walking in his earthly ministry for just three and a half years and in his early 30s was he referred to God as Father. Now, you have to understand that in terms of the culture of its day, now it's so much less now, but in his time and day, to refer to God in such an intimate way that my Father and I are one, he said. And it drove the religionists, the religion incorporated folks of his day, absolutely stone cold crazy to have such a daring relationship with God. And it is now it's me and I'm not Jesus. Trust me, I know. I look in the mirror and I see Randy every day. But I know that Jesus and in me is the hope of glory. It's a hope that something better is happening. And when I know that my love is in need, I am in need of an encounter and a connection, reconnection, a time, a season, a day, a week, a year even, in the pursuit of receiving this closeness of the love of God. So how far should we take the love of God? You know, that's a great challenge. How far do we take the love of God? What limits Or, well, maybe better said, shortcomings. Are we going to assume exist in God's love? How far does God go in his love? Well, I'll tell you, God goes so far as to say, I love the world. That the love of God was in Christ. And then in that love, God was reconciling the whole world from time past, time present, and time future. God was in Christ reconciling, putting back together the capacity of reaching his creation in love. We know that love isn't codependency, or at least we should know. I'm Randy. I'm a codependent. I will work harder on your problem than you're willing to work on it yourself. That's codependency. That's an illness that I am in my life dealing with every day. But love is not codependency. Love is not going to do all the work for somebody else, but love will reach beyond the ordinary. Love will sustain the full energy of being connected to people, intimacy, in an intimacy that is meaningful. And I do believe that this love can only come from God. I do know that, and I've said here before, that love is a natural process. Any baby knows that when mama shows up and cuddles that child, that baby knows instinctively that's love. Now, that baby can't talk. That baby can't articulate words. But that baby's coo, that baby's softness, that baby's relaxation in the embrace of mama, that's love. That's what love is. And when we know that God is that mama, God is that papa, God is that deep and wide and tall and significant and overcoming, overwhelming love, when we know that changes everything. This kind of supernatural love changes us. In fact, I would suggest that this love is the most powerful change agent in the universe. So how far do we dare take the love of God? What limits or shortcomings would we dare presume that exist on the love of God? Well, never, ever, ever limit the love of God, because the love of God is an all-consuming flame of determination. God's love is transcending every challenge. No challenge is greater than the love of God. And this love draws us into a divine adequacy beyond our inadequacies, real or imagined. So when I am feeling inadequate and incapable of being fully loving, I remember that I have a source. And when I come to that source, I am reinvigorated. I am re-energized, because first of all, I know that that love is loving me. So let's be brave enough. Let's be brave, shall we? Let's be courageous to remove all limitations on the love of God, and in particular, as the love of God pertains to us individually, so that then we become this reservoir, this source, this pipeline of the love of God to the world around us. Make sure that codependency is not in the mix here. Just, you know, be accountable to somebody. Talk to somebody who knows you well, who has an intimacy with you, and let them tell you, hey, you're being codependent. That's not love. But by the same token, they can also say to you, look, your codependency is in the way of love. So know that codependency will support inadequacies, but God seeks to transcend our inadequacies and to draw us up into his adequate love for all around us. And you say, no, I can't love everybody. Well, God does. And God wants to express that love, that divine, beautiful, spiritual, supernatural energy through us. And when we allow this love a completely unlimited scope of reference, we're going to start living in a place of freedom for ourselves. Because then we're allowing the freedom of the love of God to purge and to wash and to cleanse and to hold us, to secure us, to make us sense that no matter how high we go or how low we go, the love of God is consistently there to hang on tight, to give us the stand upon which we understand the world, the stand upon which our feet are, there's an understanding, and our, if when our understanding is the love of God, whoo, baby, then our understanding for pain, disappointment, betrayal, then our understanding goes forward instead of backward. Our understanding says, look, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs. Sorry. I just want to get that in here again. Designs that are locked into anything and everything that's love, and I am unavailable for anything less than love. When that's your understanding, when that's under your feet, it stabilizes you as you face the pains of people around you, the agonies of disappointment and frustrations. Listen, Martin Luther King said, there is still a voice crying out that echoes across the generations, and it says, and these are the words of Jesus, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, pray for those who despitefully use you, that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. He said, this may well be the salvation of our civilization. To know that this God who says to love your enemies is the same energy, this universe-sized love that is his divine nose is pressed up against the window pane of our hearts. And there's a fog of the breath of God looking in and saying, oh, baby girl, oh, baby boy, I love you. You are mine, and nothing will snatch you from my hand. Nothing can tear you away from the love of God that is in Christ. This is the pursuit of life. And that's what I want to challenge you to again here on this episode of the No BS Bishop. Now, I told you earlier that we were, I had started early with the challenge of intimacy into saying that I love you is the three most charmed and magical words in the human language. And I want to go back to that before we close. But in order to get there, I want you to still and steady yourself. To be still and steady by breathing deep. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you know how. Flatten your feet on the floor. Hold your spine as straight as you can. And on the count of three, take a deep breath. One, two, three. Inhale, hold it, and exhale. That's just a little slice of what I think we should all do every day, two or three times a day, maybe 5 minutes in a day, but breathe deep. Slow down your anxieties, your stress, your worries, your fears. And in that slowing down, come to the realization that this God of love has a nose pressed up against the window pane of the universe looking down at you, and he's saying, oh, baby girl, baby boy, I love you. Now, in order to carry that message, one of the most important things we can all do in life is to find somebody somewhere that we, it's awkward, it's weird. I've already talked about that at length. But listen, I know personally it's happened to me. This is why I carry this thought forward so routinely. I know personally this has changed my life. It changed my life early when I was sucking air and I was starving for love as a teenager. And it's carried me through the rest of my days. Find somebody. Slow your words down to the full intentionality of focusing in a contemplative way on every word. Look them straight in the eye. Don't dodge eye contact and say, I love you. Make it wonderful. Make it deeply meaningful. Yes, it gets a little slip revealing, but do it often enough. And it just simply becomes this wonderful connectivity to the people that are around us. I love you. This is Randy saying it through the radio, the computer, your telephone, or whatever device you're listening through. I love you. Take those three words. Use them in the way that will convey the majesty, the supernatural beauty, the significance, the towering majesty of the love of God. Now, I want to challenge you all to get up and do something beautiful. Based on these words that I've just shared with you, do something beautiful. Because, oh, baby, this world is doing ugly to death. The world around you is seeking for beauty. And the one most beautiful thing we can do, you don't get ahead of me. You know what I'm going to say. The most beautiful thing you can do is to make sure that every day somebody has been impacted with authentic, sincere, and safely conveyed, albeit potentially awkward, safely conveyed, I love you. Thank you for being here today on this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and I love you.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.